Hello, this is Pete Beck III with ThirdPeter.com. Welcome to today's podcast, which is part of my Discipleship Foundation series. This is Chapter 40, A Call to Sacrifice and Suffering. Sacrifice and suffering are so integral to the process of making disciples that their absence is a red flag that something has gone awry. Jesus said in Mark 8:34, "Those who want to follow me must say no to the things they want, pick up their crosses, and follow me." That's from God's Word translation. In some ways, the American church growth movement has got it all wrong, packaging the church in a way that minimizes sacrifice to gain followers will likely boost attendance but lower commitment to Christ. Jesus sometimes preached to the crowds in a desert area far from conveniences and even food. One time such a group spent 3 days listening to his teaching. Would anyone in America even attend such a gathering? Even then, it required an unusual combination of spiritual hunger and self-denial, something that should characterize every disciple. Jesus never made it easy to follow him. Discipleship is not for the faint of heart. Many early Christians had to make a life and death decision to join the church. Under heavy Roman and Jewish persecution, they understood that becoming a disciple would likely result in suffering or even martyrdom. When persecution exists, the high cost attached to declaring allegiance to Christ produces a pure church. Conversely, in the absence of persecution, the church accumulates people whose devotion may be scant or even counterfeit. When Constantine made Christianity the religion of the Roman Empire, declaring allegiance to Christ suddenly became a stepping stone to advancing politically, socially, and financially. Many believe this was the beginning of the corruption of the organized church. Jesus spoke of this issue in his parable of the wheat and the tares, or weeds. In his account, the master's servant sowed good seeds, but at night his enemy sowed weeds in the same field. When it became apparent what had taken place, the master told his servants to let both grow together until harvest, at which time the two would be separated, one to become food, the other to be burned. False disciples will always be present in the church. Often it is difficult to distinguish them from the real thing, but suffering and persecution have a way of sorting things out. In his parable of the sower and the seed, Jesus taught us that suffering for the gospel will drive those of shallow commitment away. And I read from Matthew 13:20-21. Jesus said, "The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word." That's the New Living Translation. It is important that we present the gospel in such a way that people understand from the beginning that following Christ is costly. Otherwise, people may approach discipleship as a consumer, expecting to be enriched by Christ without their having to deny themselves. Paul made it clear that suffering is a normal experience for believers. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Those who try to live a godly life because they believe in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's the God's Word translation. One way we might discern how committed we are to Jesus and the gospel is by assessing whether we are experiencing any sort of suffering or persecution. The natural tendency is for us to back off showing open allegiance to Christ if we perceive that the potential for backlash is high. If we let this become a habit, we may find ourselves effectively denying Christ by failing to affirm him. Luke 12, 8 and 9 says, "I tell you the truth, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, the Son of Man will also acknowledge in the presence of God's angels. But anyone who denies me here on earth will be denied before God's angels." New Living Translation. Those who have aligned themselves with Satan's agenda are increasingly bold. We have the opportunity to meet them head on with our bold testimony of allegiance to Christ. If we decide ahead of time that we're willing to suffer persecution for the gospel's sake, it will help us not to flinch. Suffering is a necessary part of the Christian experience. We are not appointed to suffer the wrath of God, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:9. But we are appointed to suffer for the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 3:2 through 4 says, "We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know." The NIV. Suffering relates to following Christ in general, not just with being vocal about our allegiance to him. Denying ourselves can be painful in the short run, but delightful in the end. Matthew 19:29 records Jesus saying, "And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life." New Living Translation. Making the continual choice to put Christ first in our lives will cost us in many ways. For some, it means being alienated from family. For others, it may mean losing longtime friends. Others may lose their jobs or find themselves blocked from being able to advance. Persecution comes in many forms, but the goal of our enemy is always the same. He wants us to either deny Christ or abandon our commitment to follow him. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, "But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you." New Living Translation. Once, when Jesus had taught a crowd something very difficult to receive, many walked away from him. It seems that our Lord deliberately tests his followers' commitment to him. It is not unusual for the Lord to allow things to confront us that either offend or confuse us. When this happens, we are tested in our loyalty to him. Jesus does not necessarily make it easy on us in these circumstances. He wants us to see what is in our heart. He asked his most loyal followers if they wanted to turn back too. Jesus is not afraid to ask such things. John 6:66 through 69. In this instance, Peter passed the test, publicly affirming his devotion to Christ, despite not understanding everything his master said. We may think we are fully committed to Him, but testing and trials reveal the truth. Real faith perseveres under pressure, even if we have a temporary setback, such as in the case with Peter, when he publicly denied the Lord. Later, Peter wrote the following to encourage the church in the face of suffering. 1 Peter 1:6 through 7 says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." New Living Translation. Peter experienced the keeping power of God when he failed miserably. He wanted us to know that the Holy Spirit is the one behind our faith. Real faith perseveres. Suffering works something deep inside us that nothing else can. And that is why it is necessary. It is a necessary part of the process of discipleship. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18 says, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." So, we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. New Living Translation. Paul went on to say that suffering precedes ruling. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, "If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us." New Living Translation. Suffering also results in glory. Romans 8:17 states, "And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering." New Living Translation. Even though it goes against human nature, disciples should embrace suffering rather than run from it. James encouraged us to do just that. James 1, verses 2 and 4 reads, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." New Living Translation. No one is expected to go looking for suffering or persecution, but neither are we to shy away from it. In fact, we should expect it. Let us be like Paul, who wrote the following in 2 Timothy 1:8 through 12. "So never be ashamed to tell others about the Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. If he did this, not because we deserve it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. And that is why I'm suffering here in prison. But I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard that which I have entrusted to him until the day of his return." New Living Translation. Thank you very much for listening.